after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Angel's Friday the 13th, so I should have told you this in prep, but we need some kind of Friday the 13th type of stuff today, as far as tunes go. Rough night last night. Should have been the Friday the 13th last night for the UNC Bears, for the Colorado Buffaloes. Oh, boy. Is it panic time? Are you panicked a little bit, Angel? Starting a seven-game losing streak for the University of Northern Colorado.
I'm not panicked because of the losing streak. I'm more concerned with this team is just they're just not getting their shots to fall. They're playing hard. They're getting the looks. They're attacking the basket. They're playing well. Their shots are just not falling.
Yeah, Dalen Kuntz was 3 of 12 last night. Matt Johnson, 4 of 11. Dalton Connect, 7 of 16. He had 16 points. This is the stat that bothers me, Angel. When shots aren't falling, what are you supposed to do? I say shooters keep shooting. Get to the rim. Get fouled. Get to the free throw line. Dalen Kuntz didn't get to the free throw line once. Connor Creech started again. He didn't get to the free throw line. Matt Johnson didn't get to the free throw line once. Dalton Connect, 0 for 3. And then Brock Wisney, 1 for 2. This is that stat is alarming to me. If shots aren't falling, you got to create something. Get into the paint. See if you can draw some fouls.
Well, it's not like they weren't trying last night. They were being very aggressive trying to get down in the paint, especially when early on when the threes weren't falling. You saw a shift and said, okay, we're going to start attacking the paint every time they're driving to the basket and they're not getting fouled or they're getting easy looks that they're just not falling for some reason. There is a lid on the baskets for them.
I don't know, man. It's your star in Dalen, and I love Dalen. We talk to him weekly here on KFKA. Rough night for him. You were without, Riley Abercrombie, if I could spit that one out. Dalton Connect has been... I was listening to Jerry today on with Brian on Good Morning Noco talking about Dalton's kind of been maybe the best player for this team.
He's been the most consistent all season.
Yeah.
And I really liked what I saw from a couple of the freshmen last night. Caleb Shaw finally got back on the scoreboard. Langston Reynolds has been getting a lot more minutes recently. I like that, Smiley's trying to, stagger him a little bit with Matt and Dalen to see which one he's kind of working with better. But for Dalen, it's just... I don't know what's up with him. I don't want to say there's something wrong. Jerry said there's no injuries or anything, but I don't know if it's a mental thing with him, but his shots are just not falling. Some are too, they're too hard. They're too short. He's out of rhythm right now.
Yeah. It's tough. I am a little panicked here. We'll see what this team can do. And again, it the beautiful part, I suppose, about being UNC is the season's not the end all be all. You got to set up for the conference tournament at the end of the season, but they have Portland State. What is that? Is that tomorrow night? Got Portland State tomorrow night. They're not a very good basketball team, so you're hoping you can bounce back. Eastern Washington is a very good basketball team. They have them next week, so we shall see, but that was a rough one for the University of Northern Colorado. The Buffs, meanwhile, they dropped one to USC, 68-61. That was a pretty good game. Back and forth. The Buffs got closer late, but USC just found a way to get it done. So the Colorado Buffaloes dropped that one. Up next for them, now they have, UCLA. So that's going to be a tough battle for Tad Boyle and the Colorado Buffaloes. Let me say this, too. I want to shout out good luck to our very own Bruce Dick, head coach, tonight, going for win number 700. Can you believe that? He's fourth all time, winningest basketball coaches in the state. So he's looking for win number 700 tonight. So good luck to Coach. We absolutely love having him every day here on Clark and the Coach, a prep show that's going to bring you insight you're not going to get anywhere else. Nobody's talking about preps the way these guys do, Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick. But love that program and love what Coach Bruce Dick has done for not only his program, but for KFKA as well. So excited for him. Good luck to you tonight, Coach. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, should we get to the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have a lot of good stories from last night. So we're going to go bad, bad, ugly. We're just going to do it. Good, the Bad, the Ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. How about this one, Angel? Mike Williams has a back fracture. He is out for the Chargers-Jags playoff game this weekend, which gets us talking about Staley and the decision to play his starters throughout that game against the Broncos. You are without one of your guys, one of your best players on the team. That is a big deal. If the Chargers lose to Jacksonville, does that just further your belief that maybe Staley is done in Los Angeles?
I think it does. I still think he can save his job with the playoff run with the Chargers, but getting your star receiver hurt in a game that really didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
That's going to look bad on your resume.
Didn't matter. They found out right before kickoff, so you could have made a quick decision or just win a series or two to try to keep that momentum or whatever you're trying to get.
That was like, what, the second quarter?
Yeah, that was a bad deal, man. So that, to me, the pressure is on Staley this weekend. I think if they lose, you're looking at it going, last year they made a bad decision in the game against the Raiders. This year he made a bad decision by keeping his starters in for that long, and it didn't cost him playoffs this year, but it might cost him a playoff game. So two critical decisions right there, and I'm not even talking about the X's and O's stuff, some of the other bad in-game decision-making that the guy does. So we'll talk about that. It is a pressure-filled playoff, wild card weekend for so many teams, meaning if they lose, they might be going in a completely different direction. The bad for me is the Colorado Buffaloes lost to USC. It's not a terrible loss for them. USC was favored. They've won 12 or 13 games, so it's not a terrible loss for Colorado. But if you want to be in the upper echelon of the Pac-12, now you got to bounce back and try to be, number 7 in the country with UCLA tomorrow night at 6. That game's going to be on Fox, too, so nationally televised. See if the Buffs can bounce back and find a way to beat UCLA. The ugly, and it's ugly. I mean, not necessarily the loss to Sacramento State. I mean, they're a decent team, 10-7, 3-1 in the conference, but you lost your 7th in a row. And things are looking really rough for the University of Northern Colorado. Is this right, Angel? Steve Smiley has not had a losing record since taking over as the head coach of the Bears?
That is correct.
Is that going to happen? Are they going to come back and get to a winning record?
I think they can. I think they are just too talented. Dalen's too talented. Matt is too good. And Coach Smiley is too good of a coach for them to be struggling this much. And like I said earlier, they're doing things right. They're not like just not playing correctly or just not doing things the right way. They're battling close. They stayed close with Sacramento State last night, but their clutch shots are just not falling, and that just ruins the rhythm of your offense.
Yeah,
and an offensive-minded team like Smiley has.
Got to find a way to bounce back this weekend, so we'll see how that one goes. All right, we'll take a quick break. Nuggets-Clippers tonight. Do not bet on this game. Do not, if you're thinking about taking the Nuggets, do not bet on this game until you hear the next segment. I'm just giving you a warning right now. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Friday the 13th. You do anything special on these kind of days, Angel? Is there anything important to you?
Nothing important, just...
You can watch a scary movie or something?
Maybe. Stay away from ladders.
Yes.
Broken glass.
Yep.
Black cats.
Yep.
Other unlucky things.
Other unlucky things.
Just be careful out there.
Get a rabbit's foot. Get a lucky rabbit's foot.
Four-leaf clover.
Yep. Go get those things. Surround yourself with them.
Stay safe out there.
Stay safe on Friday the 13th, okay? It kind of feels like a Friday the 13th type wild card weekend, doesn't it? For all the teams, meaning some really bad things could happen for the direction of your team. Not necessarily bad things, but you're changing directions. I mean, who's feeling the most pressure this weekend, Angel? Is it Staley with the Chargers? Is it Lamar who's not playing, but knowing that if Baltimore loses, he could get franchise tagged. They just let him go, whatever. So there's a interesting deal there. And the Ravens organization, like, what do you do? Do you keep going down this path with Lamar, or do you try something else? It wasn't that long ago that they moved on from the Flacco era to go with Lamar Jackson. So the Ravens certainly feeling some pressure. How about the Bucs and the Cowboys? That game's in both teams. If either one loses, if Tampa Bay loses, it may be moving on from the Tom Brady era. If the Cowboys lose, McCarthy could be gone, which isn't a bad thing, I guess, if you're going to get Sean Payton. But there's just a lot of things to this weekend's games, man.
I can tell you two teams with zero pressure on them.
Your Dolphins.
The Dolphins and the Seahawks.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the Seahawks, like, they won. They won the trade. They won in the court, the court of opinion as far as Russell Wilson and all of that. I mean, at the beginning of the season, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks were the bad guys. You moved on. You wanted to move on from Russ. You didn't let him cook. You didn't give him the reins to this offense. And
to
now
start Geno Smith and or Drew Lock.
Yes, you're terrible. You guys deserve this, Seattle, and now you're in the playoffs. Going up against the San Francisco 49ers. Do you like what Pete Carroll said? He's like, yeah, it's unfortunate. We have to play San Francisco. Some people had an issue with that.
I like Pete Carroll.
He's being real about it.
He's a good guy. I like him.
You like Pete Carroll? I'm either or. I don't hate Pete Carroll. I think he's a damn good coach. Could you see a scenario where Seattle, with no pressure, pulls this thing? Weather's supposed to be bad. Is that an equalizer? I don't know. San Francisco, outside of the quarterback, has the best team in the playoffs, I think. But is this the weekend that Brock Purdy finally shows that he's human? He's a third-string quarterback.
It's possible. I mean, if you're going to have a rookie slump, why not in one of the biggest games of your young career?
So Miami's playing their third-string quarterback, correct?
Yep.
We've got the San Francisco 49ers with their third-string quarterback. Is Baltimore going to play their third-string quarterback? Is Huntley playing?
Unlikely.
So
he was throwing yesterday, but not really optimistic on him either.
This has got to be like a record. Most third-string quarterbacks to start a wild card weekend. Half the games you have third-string quarterbacks in. That's why the spreads are wild. I mean, we've seen the Dolphins is 13.5. We're seeing Cincy Baltimore's 9.5. There's another one that's 9.5 too. What is it? I'm blanking out on it. It's not like an exciting weekend of games. What is it? Okay, so Seahawks Niners are 9. Chargers Jags 1.5. Dolphins Bills 13.5. Giants Vikings 3. Ravens Bengals 9. Cowboys Bucks 2.5. Wild card spreads this weekend, man. Do not bet on the Nuggets tonight.
Why not?
They're going up against the Clippers. On paper, the Nuggets are a better team, but there are some injury questions here. Nikola Jokic is listed as questionable. Jamal Murray is listed as probable. Couldn't you see a scenario, though, before this game where Malone's like, yeah, we've been rolling right now. We don't want to risk it. We're going to pull our guy. This game's on ESPN, too. So this is – teams have no – I don't know if Malone's that kind of guy, but coaches in the NBA don't care at all about the national exposure. Some of them.
Yeah, I know. This is something that Jokic was dealing with a bit in the preseason because there was a whole thing about the ice on his wrist, whether or not he actually had it. If this is just injury management, I'd be fine with it. I'd be fine if he started tonight. Maybe they blow him out again. He doesn't have to play the fourth quarter. Rest him on Sunday against the Magic. I think that might be the plan. Maybe you see how he does today at shoot around. If he's feeling good, all right, we'll play you for a bit. Just do your, you know, not crazy Jokic, but hey, just go pass the ball. That's all I need you to do.
That's what I'm saying. Wait till tip off. If you do a live bet on this one, if you were wanting to get into some action tonight, because this is a significant game. It's on ESPN. It's against the Clippers. The Clippers are still, for some strange reason, favored by NBA media to represent the Western Conference. So it's a big game. I'm just saying watch out because the Nuggets without Joker, can they beat the Clippers? Maybe. I feel better about this team without Joker this year than I did last year. But still, without Joker, this is just kind of a team. They're not like a playoff team.
Murray over tonight?
I don't know. And see, that's the other thing that's a little scary with that ankle.
Right.
I mean, he's listed as probable. And he did say he was good. He told Malone that. Katie Wingy was on with us yesterday and said, don't worry about it. That's going to be okay. So this, I'd be careful with this game. Just wait till you get closer to it.
Yeah, they've been home for a while. Go on the road for one game. Come back home for the weekend game against Orlando. Probably don't need to play your starters. And this is probably a game you're okay with losing.
I guess. I mean, I hate to lose to the Clippers in a Western Conference game. I agree with you, your first take about get through this game and then rest everybody on Sunday. And that's against Orlando. So rest Joker and Jamal maybe on Sunday. Try to bust through this game. But it is Friday the 13th, too. You have that working against you.
Yeah, no, never mind.
Yeah,
so don't play the game at all.
Yeah, don't even play the game. Just cancel it. We can't afford that.
California's underwater right now anyway.
Yeah, so don't play this game. Be careful here because, again, the only thing that's going to derail this team from winning a title is an injury. All right, we're going to get out a little bit earlier because we do have Andrew Bogus joining us, a good friend of mine, hasn't been on the show in a while, from CBS Sports Radio. He's going to help us break into all things NFL playoffs, some of the scenarios that happen to these teams if they lose. So we'll talk about all of that coming up next. Andrew Bogus, CBS Sports Radio, going to join me. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogus from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, there we go. I haven't had this guy on the program in a while. Absolutely love it when we do get a chance to talk to Andrew Bogus of CBS Sports Radio. You can also hear him on Writer Than You. Andrew, my man, so excited to get you back on the show. How you doing, my friend?
Brady, I'm doing really well. I couldn't dodge you any longer. Here I am.
You were trying, dude. You were trying, but I was persistent. I'm like that little puppy, man. I just had to keep going. But I love getting you on the show. Very big weekend in the NFL. Obviously, not all the games are the sexiest in the world. But, Andrew, there's pressure on so many of these teams that if they lose, maybe they go in different directions with their team, with their coaches, whatever. The Chargers, you know, looking at even the Ravens, is Lamar time over there? The Cowboys, Buccaneers, are we done with Tom Brady? Are the Cowboys done with Mike McCarthy? So that side of it's very interesting this weekend.
I mean, it does feel like there's more kind of, you know, negative storylines this weekend than usual, all the things you just laid out. In particular, that Cowboys-Buccaneers game drives me nuts. Those two teams drive me nuts. I said today, I kind of wish they could both lose and we could be done with both of them and get all our answers on Brady and McCarthy and whomever as soon as possible. One of them is going to survive and then continue those questions into next weekend. But yeah, maybe more so than usual, there's a lot at stake over the next 3 days for these teams.
Yeah, Andrew, let's look at the Buccaneers first. You know, I don't know what to make of this team. I mean, I suppose if Tom Brady gets hot and this offense can start getting something going, maybe they can beat the Cowboys. But aside from that, what do we make of Tom Brady? I mean, here we are every year. It's the same thing with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Are they going to stay in the NFL? Is Tom Brady done after this, whatever happens Monday, whatever happens the following week if they win? Or is he looking at a different team? We're hearing, you know, Miami's in the mix. The Raiders are in the mix. The 49ers. What are you hearing?
Well, I wish I was plugged in to hear anything that you weren't hearing or couldn't hear. So I'm sitting out here on the outside with you. I just, though, you know, personally, the guessing at Tom Brady's future is probably the biggest waste of time we could go through because we just lived the offseason where he was retired.
Yeah.
Then he wasn't. He was going to be on TV. Then he wasn't. He was going to go to this team, and then he wasn't. I mean, more than Aaron Rodgers, this guy changes his mind, has different plans. I have a hard time believing that he would want this season and a possible home playoff loss to the Cowboys to be the last thing he ever does on a football field. And he also just seems to be a guy, I mean, Did he pick football over his family? Is that why he's getting divorced? I mean, it seems to me, if I had to pick something, that this is not going to be the end, because he has definitely entered that field, that area where the game has to finally kick him out, as opposed to him leaving like a year too early. Like, I don't think he wants to stop playing. So, and someone's going to want him to play for them next year. So I would think that we'll see him, unfortunately for some, we'll see him again next year.
Do you, what's your gut tell you as far as where we'll see him? If you had to predict, I mean, does he stay with Tampa Bay? Is he the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers? How about Las Vegas now? I hear there's an opening there. The Miami Dolphins, we've talked a little bit about that and Tua's future and everything. What does your gut tell you about who, if he does play next year, where is he going to be?
Yeah, I'll take the field. I'm not going to give you a specific, but I don't think he'll be the Buccaneers quarterback next year. I don't think he'll be San Francisco's. I think they have Trey Lance, and I think that that's good enough for them, I guess. And maybe they have Brock Purdy, who knows?
Yeah.
but I think the Raiders are in play. I think the Dolphins are in play. You know, people up here in New York with the Jets and Zach Wilson. So I think the odds of him being somewhere outside Tampa Bay are good.
So on the Cowboys side of things, obviously we're paying attention to the Sean Payton situation with what the Broncos might do for their next head coach. But if the Cowboys lose, does Jerry Jones, I mean, does he start sensing this urgency? I mean, he's getting up there in age. He wants to see his team succeed and win another Super Bowl at some point. Does he look at a situation and go, is McCarthy the guy? Or if they lose to the Buccaneers on Monday, do they move on? And then do they go all in with a guy like Sean Payton?
Yes and yes and yes and yes and yes. If they lose Monday night and if they lose in, you know, they get kind of blown out, or they're clearly the worst team and Dak struggles again, I think it's all on the table. We know how much Jerry loves Sean Payton. We know what the Cowboy franchise means to Payton. We know Sean Payton is out there primed to coach again, building a staff. He's got guys lined up to work with him wherever he goes. And, you know, to be honest, with all due respect to the Broncos and to the Cardinals and to the Panthers, if the Cowboys become open, and that's the easy choice of where you're going to go. Even as crazy and meddlesome as Jerry might be, you're going to go coach Dak Prescott and some of the other young talent on that team and hope that, as you just said, because there definitely is a different urgency, a different feel around Jerry. He's definitely feeling his age and wants things to happen as soon as possible. So you would think that maybe this is another kind of Bill Parcells scenario where Jerry might agree to leave Sean alone more so than another head coach. So, yeah, if the Cowboys lose, I would be shocked if Mike McCarthy is still their head coach next season. In fact, my guess would be the only reason why Mike McCarthy would still be their head coach following a loss to the Bucs is because Sean Payton has already told Jerry that he doesn't want the Cowboy job.
Wow, and you're right. I agree with you 100%. Looking at this Broncos team, with the Russell Wilson dynamic, the fact that this hasn't been a good team in a while, it's not an appealing job at this stage. If this was 10 years ago and Russell Wilson was with the Broncos, yes, obviously, but this is kind of a mess right now. As far as those jobs for Sean Payton, who knows, maybe the Chargers job comes open, maybe the Rams job comes open. There's going to be a lot more opportunities as we progress through the playoffs for Sean Payton to go coach somewhere.
Which is why we're going to get as soon as possible on Tuesday, he's going to start interviewing, but I don't know that this is going to be a very quick decision. Again, unless he really is set on one particular team and there is more resolution in Dallas or with the Chargers come Monday or Tuesday. And as you're looking around, if you're a team with an opening, any team, I mean, he has to be your first call. There might be a young up-and-coming guy, D'Amico Ryan, Gerard Mayo. I get all those, the allure of those guys, some of the young offensive minds, too, in the league. I get all that. I also get the argument that Sean Payton is not that good without Drew Brees. I think that's real and fair, because coaches would be better without Drew Brees. So, I mean, it's kind of almost logical that anyone would have a little bit of a drop-off when they lose their all-time quarterback. But you put Sean Payton with a decent quarterback, and I think you get a fairly quick path to success.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be absolutely wild, not just for the Broncos, but just to see what Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh kind of guy, what they do. But Andrew Bogus joining us from CBS Sports Radio, looking through the rest of these matchups and what they mean for their teams going forward. Ravens-Bengals, another interesting one with no Lamar Jackson. If the Ravens lose, well, even if whatever happens, if they pull off a crazy upset against the Bengals, what does the future look like for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I still think it involves them being together. This is one of the places where I do have a couple of people I can ask questions about, and all season long the thought has just kind of been that this is going to get done when it needs to get done, like when there are deadlines and paperwork needs to be filed, that we're making a much bigger deal of this from the outside than what it is. Maybe his mom being his rep is part of, is a partial complication, but every time I talked to somebody who would know, there was not animosity, frustration, whatever. Now, recently, I read frustration into some things that John Harbaugh said or didn't say about Lamar's knee, and then Lamar tweeting yesterday that he's this badly hurt and there's still swelling and there's still instability in that knee. So maybe something is up there, but I still think that for all of the warts that Lamar Jackson might have, you're not going to find someone better than him. So I don't know what it exactly is going to look like, and I don't know if he's going to be necessarily happy with the way it looks like initially for next season, but there's like a franchise tag. But I think that they stay together because I think the Ravens know that they don't have many better options. So at some point, they're going to have to make sure that he stays their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, when healthy, Lamar's right up there as one of the top quarterbacks. So that one certainly has some intrigue as far as what happens after the game against the Bengals. And let me look at the Chargers-Jags game with you, Andrew. That's another one. I mean, we just hear that Mike Williams is out, so that adds more to the Staley thing. Every year or every week, there's a questionable decision that Staley makes. I mean, last year, even against the Raiders, with that situation, and they end up losing that game. They could have both tied and went into the playoffs, but Staley coached it a little bit differently, whatever. Then you have the situation with the Broncos. Keeping my starters in, Mike Williams is out. So if the Chargers lose to the Jaguars, which that could happen, are we done with Staley?
I still don't think so, but he's making it easier to get rid of him, that's for sure. And I'm glad you brought up last year. I know that it was a unique situation. It would have been a brain-twisting decision to try to not win that game. So you got into the postseason, and they played it out, and they lost, and they didn't get in. And then I heard a great point on the radio during Jim Rome's show today that, in the preseason, the Chargers play nobody because they want nobody to get hurt and not be ready for the regular season. And here they are in Week 18, playing guys into the second half in a game that ends up meaning nothing for them. They run the risk of losing somebody, and they lose Mike Williams. It's not a good time for Brandon Staley. Now, obviously, a win tomorrow night erases almost all of that, but an ugly loss with Justin Herbert struggling because Mike Williams is not out there obviously does not reflect well on their head coach. And he's a guy who came in with high expectations, made some gutsy calls that paid off early. He's lost a lot of his luster, and I don't think they'd pull the trigger this year, but then next year becomes in the crosshairs on the hottest of seats for him.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, that's why even some of these games with crazy spreads, there's a lot of interest in all of them. Seahawks 49ers, I mean, the Niners are a 9-point favorite. I just keep wondering Brock Purdy, he's a third-string quarterback for a reason. Are we going to finally see him play like a third-string quarterback? Will that day ever come?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I know we have. The last time I was on 17 years ago, I'm a big pedigree guy. Like there's a reason why Brock Purdy was the last player pick. There's a reason why he was not at a huge college to begin with. He's a good quarterback, but I could this many teams have been wrong on Brock Purdy? So I'm with you. At some point, and it might not last long, but at some point, like he's got to come back down to earth, unless he is another one of these out-of-nowhere aberrations. So that's on the table for me this weekend. Plus, I think they're headed for really bad weather in that game, too. So that's going to change the dynamic of that one as well. I still think the Niners are just that much better than Seattle that they survive it. To me, it's just a question of how comfortably do they get this win. But yeah, if it's not this weekend, the conversation continues every weekend they play. Like, when is the Brock Purdy dud coming? Because just the law of averages would tell you that it's got to be somewhat soon.
Yeah, no question. Andrew, my man, appreciate you so much. I know you got to get rolling. Let's not let so much time go in between. I love getting you on this show. Would love to do it again very soon.
Yeah, let's prep for the 2024 season. Put me down for that, okay? Like late August of 2024.
Yeah. We might have like two new head coaches gone by for the Broncos at that point. So
yeah, right?
We'll have a lot to talk about, my man. Andrew, appreciate you. Happy New Year to you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Brady. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Andrew Bogish, CBS Sports Radio. All right. He's kind of thinking maybe Baltimore, they do stay the course. They go ahead and franchise tag him, which Lamar's not going to like, which creates animosity throughout the next season, too. So I think that that's a tough one because you don't see Baltimore doing anything other than franchise tagging him. They're not going to sign him for a 5-year deal, are they?
But do they franchise tag him and then try to trade him?
I guess, but who's going to pay? Would you say it was probably going to be two first rounders?
Yeah, so the Ravens would probably get two first rounders if they traded him. But I would be more interested to see which team would give him a big contract. He's going to get a contract.
Yeah.
He's not going to reset the quarterback market.
No,
he's going to want to, and that's going to be the issue when you don't have an actual sports agent. You can't negotiate a deal like this.
Yeah, what was it? It's like his mom's doing.
I believe so.
She can trust her, I guess. wild, dude. So many wild things that are going to happen this weekend once it's over. I mean, I'm telling you, that Chargers-Jags game is really interesting to me because of the head coach situation for the Chargers. Now, I got my picks coming up. I think the Chargers could win this game, but if they don't, and let's say Keenan Allen and the wide receivers on this team don't have a good one against the Jags, that's going to mean even more bad things for Staley going forward. So that Chargers job, how appealing would that Chargers job be if you're Sean Payton looking at Justin Herbert? I mean, that job could work. He's living in Los Angeles, isn't he? So the Chargers job could open up. The Cowboys job could open up. I'm telling you, and I know Tanner's in Mexico, but I told you guys, do not hold your breath on the Sean Payton situation. These jobs are likely going to open up. Now, again, if Staley wins against the Jags, is he safe? I would imagine he's safe. Winning a playoff game, and they do like him, even though he is unorthodox. He makes really weird decisions in games a lot. They are 10-7. They did get into the playoffs. So if they win this game, I think Staley's safe. But if they lose, is he gone? Is Staley gone with the Chargers if they lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars on Saturday night?
If it's a competitive game and they lose by a field goal at the last second, probably not. If it's a complete disaster, then yes.
Yeah. Seahawks, 49ers, that one. Again, I'm rooting for the 49ers. Because, come on, Seattle, you've already got enough. You've already won the trade. Stop it. No more. Don't take any more from us. Now we got to watch you at 2:30 go up against the Niners. Do not pull off an upset. San Francisco is a 9-point favorite in this one, though.
Well, this is weird for Broncos fans because you don't want the Seahawks to win, but you also don't want the Niners to get a lower draft pick.
Oh, that's a good point. That is a great point.
This could be the difference between 22 and 32.
Yeah, absolutely could be. So the Seahawks can screw the Broncos either way this weekend. Fantastic. If they win, they go, see, we killed it in that trade. We got draft picks. We got players. We got rid of Russ. And we won a playoff game. If they lose, well, that's fine. That pick for you guys that you got from Miami is just a little bit worse. Thanks a lot, Seattle. They continue to screw the Broncos over every single week.
Super Bowl 48 wasn't enough.
Oh, yeah. At least that was with Russ. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. I'm going to wrap up the first hour of the program. Got the Lunch Rush coming up. The latest on the coaching search for the Broncos. I'll have Ryan Edwards joining us as well from KOA Radio in Denver. He'll jump on, talk to us, give us updates on the Broncos. We'll get into the playoffs. We got the picks, all that and more coming up next. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Friday the 13th, spookiness out there. Everybody just watch your back as you prepare for what should be a very entertaining weekend in sports. Congratulations to Clay Millen, by the way. You just heard the little rejoin there. With the end of the 2022 season, Clay Millen was the most accurate FBS quarterback in 2022. Most accurate freshman quarterback in FBS history, most accurate quarterback in a season in program history. So, Clay Millen, that's the guy. He's our guy, good friend of mine. Love working with that guy. Planning to do it again next season. So, normally we would have the Isaiah Stevens show right around this time, but they are in film study mode and everything, so we're going to catch up with him next week. They've got a big one tomorrow night against UNLV. Can they get right? So we do always want to thank Crazy Carl's Pizza for representing these players, these NIL deals that we do, these radio shows that we do. They are such a big part in that. We couldn't do it without them. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Very interesting discussion last night on Rams Weekly with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire about the collective that is set up in Fort Collins to help with NIL stuff. It's an NIL collective. And looking at that, it's not CSU that put this on. CSU can't touch the pot that the collective creates. I just think it's a funny, the collective. It's basically what it is, Angel. It's it's a bunch of people can put money into it. And then I guess the collective decides where the money goes. So, for example, if you put $30 into the collective today and said, I would like that to go toward CSU men's basketball and specifically Isaiah Stevens, it would go there. CSU can't. I don't think CSU can decide where any of that goes because it's not them setting it up. It's an external entity.
Do they accept Bitcoin?
I don't know. I just picture, I don't know why, but I just picture like the collective, like dudes in robes and they're in these dungeons and there's this barrel where you can put money in and it's like, I would like this to go to Isaiah.
I was just picturing like a little box, like a cardboard box with a slit in it. Just put money here.
It's like in a gas
station.
Where is
it going? I don't know. Put it in the box.
Well, that's what's so confusing about it. So if you put money into it, do you get to decide where it goes? Or do they decide, or do they donate it to CSU and then CSU decides? Because I don't think CSU could get it and then say, we're going to take half of this and give it to Isaiah Stevens in hopes that he comes back. Because you're not supposed to incentivize these players, whether it's the school or outside the school. Like Crazy Carl's is not supposed to say, hey, I'm going to give Clay Millen a show next year as long as he comes back. Put that in writing. They're not necessarily supposed to do that.
So this is the boosters doing this or just a random party out there.
A random party that came up with this. Yeah, and came up with this because the school can't do it. The school can't create this pot for NIL athletes. A random group of people. I don't even know who's in it. If you're listening to the show, I would love to know if you are a member of the CSU collective. And I would imagine UNC is trying. You know, there should be somebody in the University of Northern Colorado to support them in the Greeley community, a collective there. For these student athletes. The reason I'm bringing this up, Angel, Isaiah Stevens is a senior, but he's a COVID senior. he could come back next year. Now, I have not even let that enter my brain. I just assumed he was gone. But what if this collective has enough moolah in it to keep Isaiah Stevens for one more year? Because I do not want to see this season. The way it's going right now, I don't want to see it end like this for Isaiah. I really don't. See if they can bounce back against UNLV. Second hour coming up next. The latest on the Broncos. We got the lunch rush coming up. All that and more. Stay tuned. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.